Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the... what are we calling this? The Winter Storm Tuesday edition, Ice Storm Tuesday. I've been joined by a fine guest, a friend of mine. He is Joe Sopecki. Vegas Joe, you didn't bring the good weather, man. Welcome back.
You only get an ice storm on a Tuesday, February 2nd, 2022, once every 100 years. Do I have that right?
I understand. 100 years ago today, there was a devastating ice storm, and here we are once again. Ice storm beta, I guess this would be. But anyway,
I thought history didn't repeat itself. It only rhymed. This seems like it's repeating itself.
Yes, it certainly does. But, you know, I live right up the road and I made it to work. So let's do a radio show, man. You want to talk some politics? Hell, man, do you want to talk some Russians and some right wing media cheering for, I guess it's Trump and the right wing media cheering for Putin and the Russians? I don't know if you heard the sound, but Trump today from Mar-a-Lago went on Buck Sexton and Clay Travis's show and effectively called Trump a genius, savvy, very smart. Love this idea. Thinks Pooty Poot's the best.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this. Maybe we can do a little on-air therapy. I'm having a really hard time here, right? I think one of the frustrations so many people are feeling, and much more acute for those who are, who have it tough, right? Who are looking for work, who aren't, you know, where their wages aren't keeping up, is that our politics seems so small that we can't do big things anymore. And it all just seems so stupid, right? They're fighting, you know, knockdown, drag out over everything, no matter how small or inconsequential it is. And then you have something happen that is truly a global event. You have, you know, an autocrat who is trying to make up for what he views as the worst thing that ever happened to his country after the fall of the Soviet Union. And, you know, true global security implications, international order on the line. And you have an administration that is working with our allies, trying to take this threat seriously, doing an incredible, never-before-seen job, declassifying intelligence in almost real time, calling out the plays that Putin is about to run before he runs them. And the world is united. And we have the House Republicans in Congress mocking a single photo of President Biden and saying this is what weakness looks like, because he came to the lectern and addressed the world and then walked from the podium back to work and somebody caught a photo of his backside, and House Republicans now think that this is what weakness looks like. It is very hard, as someone who really believes that we have to find a way back to Republicans and Democrats working together at least some of the time, it is very difficult to not just absolutely fly off the handle and lose it when, given the severity of the situation, Republicans, at least the Republicans in Washington, D.C., who are behind that tweet, are literally acting like school children. I don't know what else to say or how else to describe it. And you know me, Mike, I try to be fair.
I know you try to be fair, Joe. I less so. Right-wing talk radio this morning, they basically, and I'm talking about Dan O'Donnell, he plays out in Milwaukee and Madison in the mornings, defending Trump immediately. And I mean, this seems quite crazy. Basically asserting, well, this never would have happened under the strong and unpredictable President Donald Trump, and completely ignores the history of Helsinki and perhaps collusion with the Russians during the campaign. And even if you say, well, the Mueller report's been completely discredited, which of course it has not been, how do you dismiss the capitulation, the Helsinki handy, as we've been calling it around here? How do you ignore that and somehow say, but Biden's the weak one?
Well, because first of all, a lot of folks in this space can only look 6 inches in front of their face. And a big part of it is, listen, the Republican Party is not a party of ideas or principles at this point. It is a party of personality behind a single individual, right? Within the last week, we had Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina say, it's all up to Trump. It's Trump's party. Whatever he decides, that's what we're going to do. And that sort of encapsulates the approach that everybody from elected Republicans on down to local, you know, conservative talk show hosts then feel like they have to do is reflexively defend Donald Trump no matter what. Because without Trump, there is no Republican Party anymore. What do they agree on other than the Trump grievances and that Trump is, you know, their leader? I don't know.
Folks, he's Joe Sopecki. We call him Vegas Joe. He's a Democratic strategist with Sopecki Communications right here in the great state of Wisconsin. Joe, I don't know if you saw, but Republicans, at least they launched their party platform, or at least a version thereof. Rick Scott dropped a platform today. Jennifer Rubin, the former conservative opinion columnist at the Washington Post, said, spread it far and wide, Democrats. If this is what the Republicans stand for, they're effectively unelectable.
Well, so this is the challenge, right? So I think this a little bit of history here matters. And this is what I mean. We got to stop just worrying about the 6 inches in front of our face. In 2016, Trump and Manafort did one thing around the platform. They made it less friendly to Ukraine and more friendly to Russia. I wonder why that matters today. In 2020, they said, we're not even going to have a party platform. If Trump is for it, we'll be for it. Other than that, don't worry about it. Mitch McConnell, ostensibly the most powerful Republican in the country today, is the minority leader of a 50-50 Senate, has made the strategic calculation, we're not going to put forth a contract with America or a blueprint for progress or whatever. But a single United States senator who fancies himself a candidate for president if Donald Trump, for whatever reason, doesn't run, goes, okay, then I'll be the ideas guy of the Republican Party, forgetting for a second that he's the head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, and he's going to make every Republican in the country own this. And what he comes up with are ideas that will have very little support, right? Things like raising taxes on 60 million senior citizens on Social Security. How's that going to play?
Freeloaders. Grandma's freeloading, like, man. She's not paying any taxes.
And maybe this is why it's all about the cult of personality and Trump, is because when it comes to the policy, they're just bad at it. Right? Like, what they are repeatedly is opposed to ideas that have majority support. Right? They don't want to expand healthcare. They don't want to invest in public schools. They don't want to legalize marijuana. They don't want to raise the minimum wage. It's just, maybe that's it. Maybe they're so out of practice of like formulating and proposing policy ideas that they're just bad at it. So they're like, we'll just give up on it.
Joe Sopecki, got to ask you if you've seen the latest from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin. Apparently he also went down the dial very recently, down to Icky Vicky show. And if you'll recall, when the U.S. Capitol insurrectionists came, he said he wasn't concerned at all. They were good patriotic people, mostly stayed within the velvet ropes. But had they been Black Lives Matter protesters, something of that sort, well, he'd have been quite afraid then. Well, in his interview with Vicky, apparently he's quoted here at the American Independent. Here are a few of the quotables from our Senator Ron Johnson. I thought the conduct of the truckers, and of course he's talking about the Freedom Convoy up in Ottawa, I thought the conduct of the truckers, the Canadians up there, was just exemplary. Because of course he did, Joe. And then he went on to quote a very famous poem. First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. And you know how it goes on. And then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. I think I heard one of the Canadian protesters paraphrase that. People are noticing. People are awakening. I mean, I've heard my little buddy Dominic throw out some bad analogies, Joe, but this could be one of the worst grabs ever. But what's your thought?
It's pretty bad, because when Governor Scott Walker came for the trade unionists and Ron Johnson was a member of the Republican Party in good standing and United States Senator, he said nothing. When Governor Walker said, we are going to silence, you know, state employees from using the words climate change, we are going to restrict speech, Senator Johnson said nothing. He's guilty of most of these sins. And now, because there's a political agenda at play, he thinks, well, I've got to find common cause. You know, it's a lot of like, where are my people going? I need to lead them there. It's followership, and it's unbelievable. I mean, this is a guy who says he's concerned about the supply chain and its impact on our economy. They're blocking international trade routes. How are you going to get stuff from here to there if truckers are impeding commerce? This is what I'm talking about. I'm having a hard time today, and I don't like getting this frustrated, because I think what we need is to actually turn the volume down and figure out how to solve some of these challenges. But man, Republicans just continue to, you know, say one thing that's more far out than the last. It makes it pretty hard to do.
Well, turn her up to 11, Joe. Give her a little more vitamin V, man. We can't turn the volume down. Go ahead.
Quickly. More cowbell, right?
More cowbell. Vegas Joe Zepecki. He's a friend of ours. Zepecki Communications, LLC. I think you're an LLC, right, Joe? He's a Dem strategist.
Sure am.
And most importantly, he's a friend of ours, and he comes around when I call most of the time, and I appreciate when you do, Joe. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Joe. Come back. We'll take some phone calls. 844-967-2789.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva!